Remember that we're in Matthew 24 and we're talking about the end times. And really we're talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ, and we're talking about, well, tribulation period. We've discussed a little bit about a rapture of the church. We haven't gone into great detail on that because I'm kind of holding that out for a different time. But what Jesus is focusing on in chapter 24 is his second coming and this tribulation period. That's kind of what he's talking about. And verse 29 is where we're at right now. He says this. Remember we read, as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west, this is verse 27, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It'll be a public event. When Jesus comes back, he's not going to sneak out of London or show up over in the Himalayan mountains somewhere or maybe pop out of Alaska. He's going to come back from heaven, and it will be a public event, just like lightning is. The other night we had a nice lightning storm. You could see it, and you recognize that's lightning. There's no question about it. You know when Jesus is coming, that's Jesus. And he says, wheresoever the carcass is, verse 28, there will the birds or the eagles be gathered. And remember, we talked about the book of Revelation, how the birds are going to be invited to a feast. Many people will die at the return of Jesus Christ. He is coming back as a judge, not as the lamb that was slain. He is the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. And he takes away sins, and you and I today can accept him as our Lord and our Savior. But there comes a time when that period of grace is done with, and he is coming back as a judge to judge the living and the dead. And of his kingdom, the Bible says, there will be no end. Now, verse 29. And remember what verse 29 says, so the next few verses will make sense to you. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. When? Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Immediately after this great tribulation period, right as it's ending, right, remember it's a 7-year time, and Jesus promised that that time would only be 7 years, because it had gone longer, none of mankind would be left alive. So he promised for the elect's sake, and who are the elect? Who's he speaking to? His people, the Jews. Also, there will be some believers, tribulation saints, we call them, those who come to Jesus, come to God during the great tribulation period. Because of the elect's sake, the time is going to be shortened. In other words, it won't go longer than is scheduled. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, signs in the heavens. Signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars. The powers of heavens literally shaken. When? Immediately after. As the tribulation comes to its close. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of God in heaven. Debate. Here is the big debate. You can join in it if you like. What is the sign of the Son of Man? The debate rages. Some say a cross is going to appear in heaven, in the heavens. You're going to look up and you see a big cross in the sky. Because they say that's the sign of the Son of Man. Well, we'll see. Some say simply the sign that God's presence is there in the tabernacle is the Shekinah glory, that great glowing glory of God. Maybe it'll just be a great bright. Maybe. Some say it'll just be a big billboard, the sign of the Lord. You know, I'm sure all the arguments are probably valid somewhere, somehow, but I don't know what the sign of the Son of Man might be. I lean more toward just the glory of God. Myself, that's just opinion. You pick your own and live with it. And then, now wait a minute, let's just ask ourselves a question, because we're only going to cover a few verses today, because I want to go slow, because so many people are teaching on this. We want to go slow and just see what the Bible says. When are we talking about? Tell me, when are we talking about? After the tribulation. Okay, if you could keep that in your head, some of the rest of these verses are going to like fall into place. The powers of heaven will be shaken, the stars and the moon and stuff. Things are going on after those days. Of course, great tribulation has been going on now for 7 years at this time. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all tribes of the earth mourn. How many tribes on the earth are going to mourn? All. When? You guys, this is it. You can do this. You don't need me anymore. Good. They will mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Not Greg Laurie. Great glory. I always thought, Jesus is coming back with Greg? Wow. No, great glory. When? After the tribulation of those days. Have you got it through yet? Is it locking in now? Zechariah chapter 12. I'll read you two verses, verses 10 and 11. If you're taking notes, go ahead and write them down. Or if you're not, then remember them and don't ever forget them. Zechariah 10 and 11. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. And they shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem and mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. In what day? When? See? See how easy this is to understand? They're going to look on him whom they have pierced. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Excuse me. Behold, he comes with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. When? After the great tribulation of those days, the sign of the Son of Man shall appear. Signs in the heavens, the moon, the stars, the sun. It's all upshook. And then shall be the sign of the Son of Man, whatever that sign might be, the glory of God. And Jesus will then appear in the clouds. And every eye shall see him, and the whole earth will mourn. Why? Why be upset? The Messiah is coming. Why would you mourn? You know, think about it a minute. Ask that question. Ask that question. Read that verse, Revelation 1:7. Read that verse to your non-Christian friends. And say, if that verse is true, it is. But say to them, if it's true, then why will the whole world be sorry that Jesus is coming? Easy, that's an easy one. Because they have rejected him. All along they have said, no way, it's not. Jesus is just a great man, nice guy, good teacher, and really had nice hair. According to the photos. But he is God in human flesh, and he is coming again. When it says all the powers of heaven are shaken, by the way, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, Ephesians tells us, but against principalities and what? Powers. So see, even the demon community is going to be upshook. Because the devil's been trying to stop the Messiah from coming for a long time now. And it hasn't worked. No matter what he does, it seems to further the cause of the kingdom. And now you're seeing the return. Well, what'll he do then? When you see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and all the earth shall mourn because they have rejected him. And of course, the Israelites will look upon him whom they have pierced. And they will weep. They will recognize their error. They will recognize he is truly God. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, wait. If you keep it in order, this won't throw you off. Keep it in order. When will he do this? See? And so many people say this is proof text that the church will go through the tribulation period, because he won't gather his elect until after the great tribulation. Who are his elect on the earth at that time? Israel, tribulation saints. How do I know that this is not the rapture? Well, first of all, there are many other verses that explain it to me, but let's just take this one. There are clues in this one that shows you this is not the rapture of the church. Let me read it to you again. He shall send his angels. Oh, big clue. Big clue that is not the rapture of the church. How do you know? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Starting in verse 16, going through 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. Listen to the language. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel. In other words, it will be Jesus himself shouting with a powerful voice, as like the archangel. Not the archangel, but a voice powerful like the archangel. And with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. You hear that? Then we which are alive and remain shall be violently seized, snatched away, caught up. The Latin word rapturus. Raptured. Together with them, the dead in Christ first, then we which are alive and remain, together with them, to meet who in the air? What does your Bible say? To meet the Lord in the air. Are you going to meet angels? Are angels going to come and get you? What does the Bible say? The Lord himself will give out a great call, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, which shows that all denominations will go before. No, I'm just joking. Dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, violently seized, snatched away, raptured, to meet with who? The Lord. The Lord himself, in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're supposed to comfort one another with these words. Where were the angels when the rapture took place? Hey, the answer is very clear. The angels don't take part in the rapture of the church. The bridegroom has no need for anybody's help when he comes to get his bride. The Lord himself is going to rapture his church. Do you hear that? Now go back to this verse that we're reading. But after the tribulation period, the church is already gone. After the tribulation period now, when the Lord shows up to come down to the earth to set up his kingdom, nobody's going to meet with him in the air. The angels are going to be sent out, and they're going to gather his elect from all over the place. Do you notice the difference? When the church is raptured, the Lord himself will do it. The bridegroom will come and he will take his bride. The Father will send him, just as in a Jewish wedding, the Son prepares a place for he and his wife to live in the Father's house or at the Father's house. And when it is ready, the Father will tell him, now you go and get your bride. And see, the bride has to be ready all the time. What a difficult assignment. You didn't know the day of your wedding in those days. In a Jewish wedding. And now you plan it. You decorate and things. In those days, that girl had to be ready. Could be today. Could have been yesterday. Could be tomorrow. And she has to be ready, prepared all the time. What kind of stress is that? She has to be ready now. Because it may be today that the Father says to the Son, you're ready now, go get her. And the Son doesn't need any help. The bridegroom will go get his bride. The Lord himself will give a shout. And if the shout is something like what we read in the book of Revelation chapter 4, the shout will be this: come on up here. That's what he shouts in Revelation chapter 4. Come up here. Come away, my beloved. Come on up. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Meet with the Lord in the air. Angels won't come and get you. Jesus is coming to get you if you're born again and if you're raptured when it's time to go. So that's the difference. I think it should be clear. Now, he says, learn a parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know summer is near. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. What is it, everybody? Yeah, see, if you don't know what it is, you're going to start calling it something it's not. It is the second coming. Hasn't he just been talking about after the tribulation of those days? And he gave you all the signs, right? And then he says, don't you know that it is near? What? The second coming of Jesus Christ. The rapture is still a mystery to these. It's still a mystery. What is it? The second coming. So he says, I'll give you a little parable. Look at the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know summer's near. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Fig tree, I believe in this particular case, as many times in the past, represents Israel itself. Jeremiah 24, Hosea chapter 9, Joel chapter 1, but many of the others talk about Psalms, Isaiah. You'll see that the fig tree, it's a representation of Israel itself. Israel became a nation in 1948. And you see the fig tree begin to blossom. Now remember, everybody thought that fig tree was dead, didn't they? In AD 70, Jerusalem was destroyed. The nation of Israel was now non-existent. And for almost 2,000 years, they have been scattered. Do you know that it has never happened in the history of mankind that a nation scattered out like that has actually ever kept its identity? For instance, how many of you have Babylonian neighbors? And that was a big, big kingdom. How many of you just talk to your friends that you work with and they say, we're Syrians? No, because they intermingle with where they are and whoever takes over. Pretty soon they're spread around, they're intermingled, and soon they couldn't tell you what their lineage was. You talk to Americans and you say, what are you? They go, well, let's see, one half Italian, one half Indian, one half Chinese, one half, and pretty soon you're starting to catch on. Wait a minute, how can you have four halves? Everybody you talk to in America is part Indian. And European. And even further. But how often in history have you seen someone say, I am Jewish. I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. What nation in all of history have you ever seen destroyed for 2,000 years, come back together and still keep their native language? How's that possible? It's unheard of. It's never been done in all the history of mankind except one time. In 1948, Israel came back together as a nation. What did God promise? I'll cut them down at the ground. I'll just cut them off. But there will still be life. I will not destroy them. I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There would always be a root. And sure enough, a tree begins to grow. And now you've got a tree, and it's starting to blossom. You're seeing leaves. Israel is a nation again. Now, when you start seeing the signs of these things going on, you know that it is near. What is it? The second coming of Jesus Christ. He said the sign of the Son of Man coming in His glory, the angels are going to go out and gather the elect. It is near. The second coming of Jesus Christ is near. What happens before His second coming? Rapture of the church. Well, if the second coming is near, how close is the rapture? Do you understand that it could be at any moment? Any moment. Are you ready? Any moment. It's not like something has to happen first. No, there is nothing standing in the way of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, coming to take His bride. Nothing. Everything is ready. All the Father has to say is, go ahead. Now, once you begin to understand that, that will change the way you live. If He's coming to get you today, you'll start treating people differently, won't you? If you're going to really live like you're going to be with Him today, all of a sudden, your attitude should change. Well, if He's coming today, I got to be ready. Now, He's not coming for a week or two, or 7 years. I've got plenty of time. I'll just get it together. One of these days, I'll start reading my Bible. One of these days, I'm really going to start concentrating on witnessing. One of these days, that's never going to come. And the whole church believed Jesus would come. Paul, the apostle, wrote these words. They're Holy Spirit inspired, but he said, listen closely, that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Who wrote that? The Holy Spirit, but through who? Paul. Then what's the next line that he said? Then we, which are alive and remain. What's he saying? Paul expected to be raptured. He expected the Lord to come back soon. And he said, dead in Christ will rise first, then all of us who are left alive will be raptured to meet with him in the air, to be with him forever. Comfort one another with these words. Paul believed he would be raptured. So did John. So did Peter. So did many of the saints throughout all the years. And why did God let them think that? Why did Jesus say in the book of Revelation right at the end, behold, I come quickly? Why did he say that? Because he knows that if you believe it, it will change your life. You not only have given your life to him, but you now start to say, any day he's coming to get me. I must be ready. I'm ready by being saved, but now I need to be walking. He is coming soon. Truly, he says, likewise, when you see these things, know that it is near his second coming, even at the doors. Truly, I say to you, verse 34, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. This generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled, till the second coming comes. What generation? Another debate. Here we go with another debate. What generation? Well, some scholars teach that the word generation means race, peoples. So in other words, Jesus might be saying in 1948, Israel became a nation. But Israel will not be destroyed. That generation would not pass. That race will not be gone before the Son of Man returns. Now, many people believe that that is what this means. Some believe that he's talking about the generation that James and Peter and John are in. So some believe that the rapture has already happened, and it happened before AD 70. Some scholars. Some believe it is a literal generation, but it's a generation that's yet future to come from the time that Jesus spoke. And so, now you've heard many people trying to tell you the whole generation theory, right? They say, well, if Israel became a nation in 1948 and you saw the fig tree begin to blossom again and bud, well, you know that and all these signs are starting to take place. We're living in the end, so it must be soon. What is it? His second coming. Must be coming soon. So then people just have to say, okay, if this generation won't pass away, how long is a generation? Is it 20 years? Because if it's 20 years, 1948, that would be 1968. And people say, no, it couldn't be 20 years. We're already past that. Genesis 15 puts a generation at 100 years. Well, give or take a year. Genesis 15 puts a generation at 100 years, approximately. So if it's 100 years, then 1948, that would be 2048. Excuse the, leap years and all. So they say, then Jesus is coming in the year 2048. If our calendar is off, it might be 2045. And so we have people teaching that Jesus will come in 2045. Because Genesis does set a generation at around 100 years. Well, see, Matthew chapter 1 sets a generation at right around 52 years. Have I lost you yet? Right around 52 years. Now, 1948 and 52 comes to what? So some people are saying Jesus will show up in the year 2000, Rosh Hashanah. Some holy day, maybe in September of the year 2000. Well, if the second coming is in the year 2000... there has to be a 7-year tribulation before it. So subtract 7 from 2,000. What do you get? Tell me the number. 93? Okay, so at around 1993, the tribulation should have started. The Antichrist should have been revealed. Church had to be gone before that. What are you doing here? You see the problem with trying to figure it out on your own calendar and in your own calculator? Do you understand the difficulty? What did Jesus say? When you see these things, know that it's near. Anyone who tries to predict, and I don't care how well they do it or how their intentions are, they have missed the mark. They're not where they need to be. It's not wise what they're doing. And they're going to throw somebody off. So don't buy the latest book. Books are coming out saying, well, there's a message here saying when the Lord will return. Don't spend your money on that. Buy another Bible and give it to a friend if you need to spend your money on something. Because you're going to be sorry. See, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. What you want to stick with is His word. That's what you want to lean on, and that's what you want to lock into, His word. Date setting is no good, because you're going to see, of that day, the next verse says, of that day and hour, no man knows. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So I hear people say, okay, we don't know the day and the hour, but we can know the month. We can know the year. Listen. Let me read to you a verse. Acts chapter 1, verse 7. Disciples say, Lord, is that when you're going to set up your kingdom? When you come again, is that when you're going to... When is that going to work? And He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own power. It's not for you to know. Work until I come and get you. Serve until you're completely finished. Oh yeah, but we get it. You're spending a lot of time trying to figure out years and times and dates and things when God has already said it's not for you to know, and He has said no man knows but the Father. Now, if that's true, then no man knows, no matter what that man tells you, how intellectual, what he writes in the book or what she writes, nobody knows. Now, if you believe the Bible, why don't you take the Bible, take the Word of God to be His Word? Because what it says is this, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Revelation 21:1 says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth, have passed away. They were destroyed. They're gone. And there was no more sea. Heaven and earth are going to pass away. But God's word will not be changed. It will remain forever. If there's one thing you can believe, that is no matter what anybody says, they do not know when the second coming is. Because God's word is locked in like that. Zechariah 14:7. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, and to the Lord only. Not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that in evening time it shall be light. And he's talking about the end, when things are going on at the end. It shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord. What did Jesus say? My Father in heaven. No man knows the day or the hour, not even the angels, but my Father in heaven. Acts 1:7 I read to you. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own power. That's God's business. What God is saying to you is, you get busy and take care of it. Lord, well, give me the exact day. No, that's my business. You just trust me and I'll come and get you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 through 4. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. He just said it'll come as a thief in the night. Why won't it overtake us as thieves? Because we are ready all the time, not knowing exactly what's coming, but knowing that Jesus Christ will keep His word, we are always ready. So we're not shocked. If He comes to get us today, we're ready. True? 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. It's going to happen so quickly, even though people have been warned. But you will be ready when Jesus comes for his bride. Revelation 16:15. Jesus says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, his clothing, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Be ready. Always, anytime, right now, be ready. If you start thinking Jesus won't come in until 2030, what are you saying? I got a bunch of time to goof off. But if you really begin to believe he could come for me today, it'll change your heart. It's going to change your motives. It's going to change your attitude. The Spirit will begin working in you. You say, I got to be ready for that time. He will come to get me, and it might be today. He's coming. We're just told that we need to be ready. If you start to confuse the second coming with the rapture, you're going to start thinking, well, we got a 7-year tribulation to go through. I better get ready. I better hunker down, collect some soap, and just do everything I got to do to make it through 7 years. The water's going to be ruined. The earth is going to be completely destroyed. Listen, complete darkness, so dark that you could feel it. The entire earth. And you're planning to get through all that. When we go through Revelation again, you take a look at the things that are coming. The diseases and the pestilence. The water ruined, not just for this part of the earth, but over the whole earth. While you're planning to get through 7 years of ugly, you are missing opportunities to share what you have with others and to tell people about Jesus. You're not ready. You're planning to get through 7 years when Jesus may show up today, and all that stuff stored up is wasted unless somebody can find where you hid it. Think about these things. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Israel is a nation again. The fig tree is blossoming. You're seeing the signs of the end. It's coming soon. What's coming before all that? Jesus Christ himself, the Lord himself, coming to take his bride. Our lives need to be different. We need to change from the inside out by the power of the Holy Spirit and be ready, because it may be today. Let's bow our heads together. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you for the reminders that we see that you care about us, that Jesus died for the sins of the world. You sent your only begotten Son. Whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We know, Lord, that you are coming soon. We admit that we don't know the day or the hour. We can look around and see signs, but what we need to do is be ready. So, Lord, work in our hearts as we worship you and bow before you. Lord, speak to our hearts the reminder that you are coming soon, that you do care, and that you will care for us always. We worship you, Lord, in Jesus' name.